look at Proverbs 18 for a second. I always, not always, but especially tonight, I was reminded once again and during today that you want to be able to give something to people that they can use. Right? So what is it? Almost October, November, December. Did you ever get a gift and open it up and say, this is wonderful, but you'll never use it? Mm-hmm. I'm going to re-gift this. But you want to be able to give people something they use. Because the Word of God is not practical. If you can't take something away from a church, a fellowship, a meeting, you didn't really accomplish many things. And that's why I always endeavor to try to make the Word of God practical. So you just don't go walking away and being able to answer Bible questions and your life's a mess, but you're able to apply God's Word and see God's Word work. And that's the whole key about the Bible. That's the whole key about Jesus Christ and why he came. Jesus Christ came, the Bible says in John 10:10, that you could have life, and not that you could just have life and eke by, but you can have life and have it more than abundant. And that's a promise of God's Word. He says, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more than abundant. That was one of the reasons, if not one of the main reasons, that Jesus Christ came. Now, if he came for that reason, then would stand to reason that if he succeeded in his calling and his ministry before God and before the world, then it must be available to have an abundant life. And when you come from a place in life where you're not endowed with a lot of brains and you don't have a lot of social skills and you don't have a lot of friends, and you come across a promise like that, that's something you can hold on to. And not only something you can hold on to, you could then go to the Word, learn the keys and the principles in the Word, and apply them in your life so that you too can receive, can manifest, walk in an abundant life. And that transforms you. It transforms your heart. And once your heart is transformed, everything else will follow suit. For out of the heart are the issues of life. See? And that's a great promise. That means that no matter who you are, or no matter what your abilities are, that if you go to God and you trust in God's Son, that between you and God, you make a majority. And Jesus Christ accomplished great things that you can live a life that's more than abundant. I didn't say live a life like, what's his name? Gates. What's his first name? Bill Gates. I'm not saying that Bill Gates is bad or good. I'm not saying about that kind of life. But I'm telling you that you can live a life that's more than abundant. And I'm telling you tonight, as I'm thinking about it, that I am living proof of that life. I'm living proof of that life. Because sense knowledge-wise, academically, physically, in every other way, if you had to critique my life, I would have been in the failure section. I had no great abilities. I had no great prowess. I didn't have any friends growing up. I was sickly. I was a loner. And everything was stacked against me, so to speak. And that led me into an area where, in order for me to get ahead, I decided that I would do it illegally. See, if I had ability, education, and direction, I would have followed that direction. Okay? The truth of the matter was that the only way I could figure out in my mind how I could get ahead was to take from others, was to steal. And thus, I started my career as a criminal. And I continued in my career as a criminal until, like all criminals, you get caught. But as you continue to work that way and live that way, your ego and your pride gets bigger and bigger and bigger, especially the more successful you become and the more cloaked you can keep your operation. See? But see, I was never really cloaked. I was being studied and surveyed, and the state police were making films of me. They went to the church that was next door to our chop shop, and they talked to the pastor, and the pastor agreed to let him up in the third story with a camera, and they filmed us. Then we had no clue. To court, of course. Where did you get that evidence? See? But the reason why I did that was because I didn't know any other way to get ahead. And so that was the course I chose. Now, God took that, because I can remember praying in my backyard, laying on the grass, and for the first time in my life, enjoying freedom. And then now faced with going to jail, I really understood what freedom meant. You know, a lot of times they say you don't know what sunshine is until you have a rainy day. That's true. Till you're threatened to have something removed from you, you never really get to appreciate it. So I can remember laying there, and I've laid there hundreds of times before and never gave it a thought, but this time I gave it a thought, and I understood. And it wasn't that awful long after that I came across someone who spoke the word of God to me, or actually I spoke the word of God to them. Because I heard that they were a preacher, and I was observing the way they were living, and I asked them, and says, you're not a preacher, are you? And that kind of woke the person up into reality. And from that moment forward, I just started to gravitate towards God, and I didn't understand it, because this love, this force, this affection, this attraction started to draw me. And it wasn't unconscious. Bella Lagusa, back. Wasn't that kind of a draw, right? It was, I guess it was the love of God. And I didn't know it was the love of God. And then I learned about praying, and I started to practice prayer. And then sometimes my prayer would get answered. And I got real excited about that. And then I started to learn about the Bible, and I started to read things, and then I read in the Bible how you could be one of God's kids. And not only did I read in the Bible and learn about that in the Bible, you know what else I learned? I learned how God's kids act. You know what God's kids don't do? They don't steal. Bible says, wherefore put off stealing. Of course, I didn't know that verse at that time, but I saw the heart of God. And when I started to learn about the heart of God, there was a wonderful thing that happened. My heart started to transform. And I started to take on the nature of God. See? And as I did that, my life started to transform. And it wasn't that I went about and said, I need to stop stealing cars. I need to stop selling dope. I need to stop carrying a gun. It wasn't about I started all these bad things in my life. You understand? It didn't happen like that. It was about God and the Word of God. And then all of a sudden, those things that was my life, that used to be me, ain't no longer interested me. Now, things weren't good, and I didn't get a job to replace my career as a criminal. I worked in my field, continued to work in my field, and got busier and busier as I stayed honest. But when I first started to learn about God, it seemed like all hell broke loose. and things actually got worse. I lost my home where I was living. I got kicked out. All of my money was taken and spent. And I lived in a garage. And it wasn't good. But I had a book. And I had a Bible. And the book helped me understand the Bible. And I was put in a position where I had nothing. I had nothing. I had no real estate. I had nothing. But I had the Word of God. And you know what? When you read the Bible and you have nothing and you see that promise in there and you are actually, quote unquote, foolish enough to believe that promise, tremendous things start to happen. I had nowhere else to go. And I had those promises and I start to read about those promises. Promises like, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Promises like, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Promises like, if God be for you, who can be against you? And I started to believe those promises. And something down deep inside happened. And my heart changed. And when my heart changed, I began to realize that I was training myself and God was training me in his word. And now I went from having no ability, having no this, no that, to now are we the sons of God. Now are we the sons of God. Now I'm a son of God. My Father is God. And I thought to myself, well, if I had a father like so-and-so who was real rich, would I have any problems? And my Father is God. And I started to believe his promises and I started to apply his promises. You know what I did? Because of God. Let me rephrase that. You know what God did with me? He turned my whole life around. Turned my whole life around. He brought me from the depths of despair and poverty to a place where I was able to be good at what I do, be successful at what I do, and he brought me to a place where I even have a house today. And of my own ability, I would have had nothing. I would have had nothing. And as I look back over my life, I've told you this many times before, if you looked at my salary, you would look at me and say, you're a liar. But God has always intervened. God has always supplied. God has always made it available for me. And you know what else I never did again? I never went back to that way of life again. Never. I never went back to stealing. I never went back to all of that stuff. I just stopped. I just quit. And when you go through something like that, that type of a transformation, that puts you in a place where you got to be a thankful person. And because of what God did for me, I committed my life to him many, many years ago. And I never went back on that commitment, ever. I've not walked that commitment perfectly all through my life. No man has but Christ. But I never reneged on my commitment to serve him. Nor will I ever renege on my commitment to serve him. Till I die or until he returns. So if the Word of God is not practical, if the Word of God is not something you can take and use, see, what good is it if in this life alone, okay, it ends, if we don't have an eternity, if the word can't be practical and can't help us now, it's no good. If all of the promises were in the future, it'd be worth it. But God does one step better than that. He doesn't only give us the promise of heaven. He doesn't only give us the promise of the future. We heard in manifestation about wiping the tears from the eyes or a song we sang. He doesn't only say that then, but he says that or that, at that point, but now he says it now. He says it's available to have the Word of God now. And I want to tell you that I have no special corner on the market of truth or receiving into manifestation God's Word. God's Word will work for anybody that dares to come to God's Word and take him at his Word. And the reason why that is because of what Jesus Christ accomplished. It has nothing to do with you or I. He did the work. That's why the word always works. Now, we looked briefly Sunday when we were together at faith and confession and how the two work together and how the one relates to the other. And we saw that to try to describe faith by one word or by one definition is impossible. And I gave you the example and challenge you to describe the love of God by one definition. And that's impossible. And then I gave you 15 or 20 definitions of what the love of God is, beginning with Jesus Christ. That's the love of God. You know, paradise and heaven, forgiveness and grace and mercy. It's all the love of God. So, and then, of course, we had a skit and we had volunteers from the audience. They did very well. Some are still praying their penance, I'm sure, but I showed you that the word confess came from two words. It came from the Greek word homo, and it came from the other Greek word logos, or logo is the root. But homo means same, and logos means word. So to confess in our context means to say the same thing that the Word of God says. You get that? We want to say the same thing that the Word of God says. Now, you're all going to talk. You're all going to speak words. Every one of you. Okay? Unless you're a mute. But you're going to talk. You're going to speak words. We're here in Proverbs 18. Verse 21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. See? So when you speak, you're going to speak words that are going to go along one of these two avenues. You're going to speak words that bless or speak words that don't bless. And even words that you would call neutral, the tone and the attitude in which you speak them with will bless or not bless. Okay, so allow me to demonstrate. If I said to Steve, I said, he invites me over his house. Okay? Now, when you go over his house, he usually makes burgers and some other kind of thing. So if I say to him, could I have a hamburger? Now, that's a neutral request. It's a hamburger. How can that bless or not bless? Okay? In and of itself. But the words and how I speak and the attitude in which I speak can bless or not bless. May I please have a hamburger? Okay? That's a gracious way of saying that that blesses him and blesses the people around him. But if I come in here and she's getting a hamburger and I go like this, that's my burger. Can I have a burger? That doesn't bless people. Right? It's the same request, but it was my attitude. It doesn't bless people. So words can either bless or they can unbless. Or words can cause life or bring life or cause things that bring death or lead you towards that area. I want to list for you tonight 7 reasons why confessing God's word works. And again, we're talking about confessing. I'm not talking about saying my sins to God. I'm not talking about I ate the cookie kind of a confession. I'm talking about what the Bible says. It says to say the same thing that God says. So when I'm confessing the word, when I say the same thing that God says, okay, I want to show you 7 reasons why confession works. And that's why it can be a practical teaching. If you understand why it works, then you can make the decision if you want to try to apply it in your life and prove it for yourself. Because that's really where it all gets down to, and the rubber meets the road, is the proof is in the pudding. The first reason I want to list for you is why confessing God's word works, is that confessing God's word sows seeds of faith for the desired results. Confessing God's word sows seeds of faith for the desired result. Look at Mark chapter 4. Mark 4 is one of the places in the Bible where it talks about the sower and the seed. And it starts off and it says, "Behold, a sower went forth." Okay? Sower, someone who spreads seeds. Well, when you get down to verse 14, you see that the scripture says, "The sower soweth the word." It was a parable. He was teaching them a parable. Okay? And what he's saying is that the seed that the sower is sowing, that he's spreading out, is the what? It's the word. It's the word. This is what he's sowing. He's sowing the word. Verse 15 says, "And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh," how fast?
Immediately.
Immediately. You know what immediately means? It means when you get your check, the IRS has already been there. That's what immediate means. Okay? "He cometh how? Immediately. And taketh away the what?
Word.
The word that was sown in their where?" Okay, so now it's a sower. Now in the natural realm, a sower would be a farmer, a planter. And he sows seed. Let's say he's going to sow seeds of corn. So he gets the corn, he goes into the field, the field is prepared, and he sows seeds. He plants the seeds of corn. Where does he plant the seeds of corn at? In the what?
Dirt.
In the soil. Okay? That's where he sows the seed. He sows the seed in the soil. Bible says, "But when they heard..." These are they where the word is sown. "But when they heard, he comes immediately and snatches away that which was sown in their what?"
Heart.
Their heart. The word of God is the seed that is sown. An individual sows the seed. The soil that the word of God is sown into is where?
Heart.
Your heart. Because that's where it gets stolen from. So this word has to be sown into your heart. And once the word is sown into your heart will then act like soil. And that's where the word of God will grow from. See? That's why if you got a cocky attitude or you think you know everything, and I don't care how long you've been around, and you know all the verses even before I quote them, and you got it up here going on, but your life is in the trash, you're not going to manifest anything good of God, because the soil that's sown never gets past your brain. And you want to know something? Seeds that are sown in your brain don't grow. They give you a big head. It's called knowledge puffeth up. Seeds that grow have to get into your heart. And your heart has to be meek. Your heart has to be humble. It has to have good soil. Because out of a good heart, man can bring forth a good treasure. But out of an evil heart, you know what kind of treasure comes forth? Bad stuff. So if you're sowing the word of God up here, and you're academically gifted, and it never gets beyond this point, you're in sad, sorry shape. Because in order for the word of God to grow and blossom and bloom, it's got to get sown into your heart. It's got to start here. But if it stays here and you just flip it around because it's an intellectual exercise for you, and you memorize these verses and you quote these verses and you look at situations and you spit them out like a computer, guess what? That's not revelation knowledge. That's head knowledge. That's called mental assent. You'd be better off being less smart and more believing and humble, and hold on to one or two of God's promises here and let them grow from here. And then you'll manifest the promise of God in your life. instead of being 5, 10, 20, 30 years in the Word and having all this up here and your life's in the trash can. Why is that? Because the Bible says be a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. Because when you only hear up here, you deceive your own self. See? Bible says that not many wise, not many mighty, so and forth in 1 Corinthians. It said God gave the word to the humble because he's chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the mighty and the wise, right? So don't let the word get stuck up here, okay? The word's got to get into your heart. Look at Mark chapter 11, please. And we're looking at confessing God's word sows seeds of faith for the desired result. We read in Proverbs that the tongue has the power of life and death. So when you speak, you want to speak things that agree with God. You want to say the same things that God says in his word. You don't want to say things contrary to God. You don't want to say things against God. And when you say things that don't agree with the word of God, you speak contrary to God. You know who you agree with when you say those things? The world or the devil? Same thing, because the Bible says he's the god of this world. So we want to agree with God. Mark 11 verse 23 says, "Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and shall be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe in those things which he had said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." It says, whosoever shall say. Whosoever shall say. Right? Confession sows seeds of faith for the desired result. If a person is going to say something, they're going to have to speak words. And when your words agree with God's word, we're confessing what God says, what's available. We're confessing a promise. Or we're confessing something that's going along with God. Romans 10:10 says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Confession is made unto salvation. So you see, confessing God's word plants the seeds of faith. And when that faith blooms, the result here is salvation. Now that can happen fast, or that can happen over a period of time. But it has to be preceded by confessing. Confessing. Well, look in Mark 4. Verse 26. And he said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear." See it? That's the natural life cycle of a seed. You plant the seed. It's in the earth. You go about your business. You rise up. You go to bed. It gets water. It gets sun. And before you know it, you got this little thing that pops up through the ground. You get the blade. And then after the blade, the Bible says you get the ear, and then after the ear, you get the full ear of corn. It's growing, but it all started with a seed. And I said that confessing God's word plants seeds of faith. Now, one of the things you want to watch is that when you confess God's word and you plant those seeds of faith, that in some cases, the thing doesn't happen overnight. Remember, Mark says they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Recovering takes a period of time. Sometimes you lay hands on the sick and a miracle happens and it's instantaneous. Here the Bible says the blade, the ear, and then after that, the full ear of corn. Don't try and harvest your result before it's fully in the ear, ready to put the sickle to it, the next verse says, if you read it. Don't try and harvest when it's a blade. Don't try and harvest when it's an ear. You understand? You harvest when it's ready to harvest. And that's what happens many times with people. People start out and they're getting along good and things are starting to happen. And before you know it, they get ahead of themselves. And what happens? They try to pull a harvest and you know what happens? It wasn't ready to be harvested. Needed a little bit more time. It says, after you have done the word of God, you have need of patience to receive the promise. See, I don't know how long that patience is. In everybody's case, it's different. See? Note that God doesn't sow the seed in the above verse. Neither did God sow the seed in the parable of the sower. It said, behold, a what? Sower went out. Man sows the seed. Now, God gives you the seed to sow. Because the seed is the word of God. You understand? He's given us the seed to sow. But we have to sow it. And we sow seeds by the words that we speak. You ever hear anybody say this? Politics, right? This is a wonderful one. A lot of junk going on in the political world now. It's like a bee's hive, right? Everything's buzzing. You send over your buddy over here to this party. And they come back and they say, don't worry, I planted the seed. Did you ever hear that before? Well, what does that mean? Did he go over there and... No, it's a figure of speech. What does it mean when somebody says, I planted the seed? They gave them a suggestion. They spoke words that are going to lead them in a certain direction, right? Okay. Well, you can understand that. Well, it works the same way spiritually. When you plant seeds, you speak words. You speak words. You ever get around somebody that's a troublemaker? And they sit... I used to have this friend. He was fun at parties, but you couldn't get too close to him because he always got in a fight. He'd walk into the party. I watch him. He'd be there for about a minute. And he'd say something about this guy that said something about that guy. And then he'd step back and these two were fighting. Do you ever have a friend like that? Did you ever see people like that? They can't go anywhere without starting a fight, opening their mouths, planting seeds of discord, seeds of strife, because the power of the tongue has life and death. That's what they do. You plant seeds by speaking words. Words have power. They have power. But when we speak, we want to speak words, seeds that plant faith in people. See, I'm talking to you now about God. The things I'm telling you, I'm hoping to plant seeds in your heart that show you that you can trust God. The reason why I told you about me was not because I'm on some type of, oh, I told you about me to try to help you understand that if God could take a failure like me and fix me, and I consider myself the worst of the failures, and there's nobody in this room I consider worse than me. But that's good news, because if he could do that with me, what can he do with you? Because surely none of you are in that position. Trust me. See? That's the, and they were, the reason why I said that is so I could sow seeds of hope in your life. Yeah, hope. Hope is a goal setter. I didn't say the hope. I said hope. Hope is a goal setter. A person doesn't need to know. Let me see. Hey, you're going to die. Can I get paid now before you leave the office? That doesn't give you hope. Right? A person needs to hear, you know what? With God, all things are possible. Lazarus was dead for 4 days. And Jesus said, come forth. That gives a person hope. See? There are seeds of hope. And those seeds of hope come by words that we speak. Confessing God's word sows seeds of faith. Confessing God's word causes faith to come. You know, faith can come different ways, but the scripture says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now that's a good thing to have, because if you want some faith and you need to get some more faith, or you want things to happen, you can know how to get it. See, it's like going to a faith store. There's the faith store. You go to the faith store, you give them $2, you get $2 worth of faith, and you leave. Well, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So now you know how faith comes. It says faith cometh by what you have heard. No, it says faith cometh by hearing. It's an ongoing process. Hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and over and over and over. You understand? That's how faith comes. But in order for you to hear, people have to do what? And what do they have to speak? Martian? No. They speak words. Because words carry faith. See? I taught you this. Words carry faith. And when you hear those words, you have a choice. If it's God's word and someone's speaking it, you have a choice. I'm going to believe it. And then I'm going to let it settle down into my heart where it can conceive and bring forth. Okay? So faith comes by hearing the word of God. And when faith comes, Hebrews says that faith is the substance for things hoped for. You're hoping this, or you're hoping this is going to get better, or you're hoping that this is going to pass, or you're hoping that this is going to come to pass. Faith is the substance you need. It's the substance for those things that are hoped for. And how do you get faith? One of the ways is by hearing, and hearing what? The word of God. And like I taught you the other day, it's a principle. And when the devil gets a hold of God's principles, he twists them. And if faith cometh by hearing the word of God, then fear, which is faith in the devil, cometh by hearing the word of the devil. And the hearing the word of the devil comes from hearing the word of the world, because he's a god of this world. So what are you listening to? What are you putting into your mind? You want to put words in that are going to build faith, or you want to put words in your mind that are going to build fear? Because they both come the same way. It's the same principle. You make up your mind. That's why I tell people, don't listen to that junk on the radio. Don't listen to that junk on the TV, because that stuff's getting in. It's getting in. I don't care what you say, because when a seed gets in and it falls into the soil, you can just go about your business and get up and go down. And you want to know something? It says it springs forth and brings forth fruit. Now nobody knows how. And then you wonder, a year down the road or 7 months down the road, why am I in this situation that I'm in? Well, I'll tell you one of the reasons why you're in the situation that you're in. Because of all the junk you've been planting in your head, and some of that junk got down into your heart and it sprung up, and now you're enjoying the fruit of the devil that he's planting in your heart. Remember the scripture that says, you know, they planted good seed, but tares grew up, and somebody said, well, what happened? He said, well, an enemy sowed these seeds while men slept. That's what the verse says. So you just go to sleep for 6 months or for a year and bebop along your life and get these seeds sown in. And then when the manifestation, when the ear is full and the fruit starts to come and the harvest is bad, don't say, oh, what's happening to me? What's happening to you is you haven't guarded your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. What's happening to you is you've been listening to all the junk in the world, all the junk by your friends, miserable comforters, people telling you negatives. You don't need to hear negatives. You need to hear God. You need to hear positives. Negatives do you no good. They do you no good. You need to surround yourself with good things, positive things, lovely things. Confessing God's word sows seeds of faith. Confessing God's word causes faith to come. Confessing God's word helps renew your mind to the word of God. It helps renew your mind to the word of God. Did you ever say something, quote the scripture? Your scripture for that's Romans 12, 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, as you may prove what is good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Did you ever say something and stop and say, oh, that's my problem? or oh, that's what I should be doing, or oh. And then you have like a light bulb go off in your head. See, that's your, because you confess to God's word. And that helped you renew your mind, because you realize at that point in your life you're doing something dumb. You're doing something that you shouldn't do. So confessing God's word will help you renew your mind to the word of God. Philippians 4:13. Know what it says? I can do what? That's a confession. You know, I get so mad when I hear people misquote that verse. And just about everybody misquotes that verse at one point in their life. You know what they tell me? They says what? Thank you. That's what they tell me. And now they're at odds with God. Because God says you can. But you want to say you can't. Now, I'm not like a better, but if there was two fighters in the ring and one was God and the other was here, I'd think I'd put my money on God. Even Don King would do that, hairdo or not. Right? Look, it says, I can. I can. Don't you say, I can't. When you say, I can, you know what you're doing? You're confessing the word of God. When you say, I can't, you know what you're doing? You're confessing the word of Satan. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. Fear cometh by hearing and hearing the word of Satan. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So when you're saying, I can't, you know what you're telling me and the rest of the world that's spiritual? Your heart is full of fear, doubt, worry, and unbelief. Literally, you're calling God a liar. You're saying you don't trust God. You're saying that God doesn't have the ability over Satan to correct what you're into. What you're saying is that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ didn't cover you. It missed something. There has to be an addendum added to it, that he has to come back and do something, because in your particular case, he missed you. And you know what? If you follow that logic out, it's ridiculous. Don't say, I can't, when God says you can. Who thinks it's a good idea to argue with God? Did you ever say that to your kid? Go do such and I can't. Yes, you can. I can't. Okay. Who's going to win the argument? You are, right? And who's going to get spanked? You can't win the argument. Don't argue with God. I mean, you can argue with me and I could be wrong. But God's never wrong. It's a losing battle. You're always wrong when you argue with God. Confessing God's word sows seeds of faith. Confessing God's word causes faith to come. Confessing God's word helps you renew your mind to the word of God. Confessing God's word, number four, keeps the answer before your eyes. Keeps the answer before your eyes. Look at Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, ye shall have them. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye what? You desire. When you pray, you speak. When you pray and you confess what the word says, that keeps the answer before your eyes. You pray the solution. You don't pray the problem. You understand? And in doing that, you keep the answer before your eyes. Over and over and over again, you encourage yourself. Now, when you pray, and you pray in faith, you don't continue to pray for the same thing. Because if you have prayed in faith, that seed is sown. Now your prayer should be a prayer of thanksgiving from that point on. Your prayer should be a prayer of confession of the word from that point on. Do you understand? Because if God's word is true and you trust God and you believe God's word, and you pray in faith, the Word of God says, for whatsoever things you pray, you're going to what? You receive. Then your prayer from that point is, thank you, Father, for answering my prayer. Praise your holy name. Thank you for supplying my need in Jesus Christ. Thank you for my health. Thank you for wholeness. Thank you that the devil can't touch me anymore. I've been healed by his stripes. Thank you that my prayer was answered at the cross. Your specific prayer and your specific need, thank you for this broken finger, this pain, that's one thing. But once you pray that, and you prayed in faith, then it doesn't need to be done anymore. See? In that particular type of praying. So, confessing God's word keeps the answer before you. It keeps the result before you. Because, you know, you can get so messed up with the problem that people actually pray the problem. Oh, God, this arthritis of mine, well, you know, just stop. They mean well, but they've just claimed it. It's mine. This arthritis of mine, not that this arthritis attacking me from the devil. No, it's this arthritis of mine. It's been with me for all these years. And it's probably going to be with me for the rest of my life. So, dear Lord, I just pray that you would help me get through it and bear it. And that's not a prayer. You're going to get the result of that prayer. Okay? Don't do that. Pray the answer. Father, the adversary is trying to attack me with this pain, this arthritis. I denounce it. I call it null and void. I call it dead by the blood of Jesus Christ. I refuse it to give it entry to my body. I refuse that it have power over me. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for your protection and for you removing this already at the cross. In Jesus' holy name, I pray it. I receive it by faith. Thank you, Father, that it's done. See? And then when you thank God from that point on, you thank him for his son's sacrifice. You thank him that no weapon formed against you will hurt you. You thank him for complete wholeness. You thank him for all the good things. And you move on. And you know what happens? If it doesn't happen immediately, that seed is planted. And it's a law. It's a law. And it'll grow. And it may be a blade. And a month from now, you might have a little bit less. And then it'll turn into an ear. You understand? A stalk. And then before you know it, you're walking around. You're saying, hey, where did this go? It's not here anymore. I don't know where it went. You don't need to know where it went. Says that. Says the man rises up, he goes to bed, and he knoweth not how the earth bringeth forth the fruit. You don't need to know. What do you want to know for? So you can get in there and help God out? You don't need to know. Forget it. All you need to do is enjoy the benefit. Enjoy the result. Remember they used to teach us? Just show me the baby. Well, how did the baby come? How many hours labor were you in? When did your water break? Was it a seat? No. What do you want to do when you get to the hospital? Where's the baby? Show me the baby. You don't need to know all the gory details. You want to see what? You want to see the baby. It's the same with the word. You want to see the result. See? Confessing God's word keeps the answer before you. Confessing God's word, number 5, will help change your heart. Will help change your heart. Proverbs 22:17 says, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. It'll help you change your heart. Number 6, confessing God's word sets the law of faith in motion. Simple enough. Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what?
Saved.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, at the moment the person is confessing with his mouth the Lord Jesus, the beginning of the verse, a new person who's not born again, is that person saved? No, they are not. They are making their way towards being saved. But they are already confessing with their mouth like they are. Confessing God's word sets the law of faith in motion. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what?
Saved.
It sets the law of faith in motion. Yeah. Confessing God's word will cause you to grow spiritually. That's the seventh one. Ephesians 4:15, you all know it, but speaking what? The truth in love, you may what? Grow up. Let's close. Now I have a couple verses to share. Go to Romans chapter 4, please. I'd like you to go there if you would. To confess means to say what the word says. This is God's method of receiving. It's not the entire method, but it's a very important key to part of the method to receive. You got to believe. There's other things. We don't have time to get into that. But confessing is God's method to receiving. Now, you got to understand that. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth. He could have said anything he wanted to, but he's showing you the law he's setting up. Confession is God's method to receive. Okay, this is the way God chose. He said, well, how am I going to work? How am I going to get the sacrifice to be practical for these guys down on earth? Oh, I get it. I'll say that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth. This is God's choice. You understand? God's method. He picked this way. Don't try and change it. Don't say, that sounds dumb. You're not smarter than God. If you are, make a frog. I'll shut up. Make a frog right here. Make a frog appear. All right, a spider. Okay, then do it God's way, right? Okay, now listen, Romans chapter 4, verse 17. As it is written, I made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, watch it, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now let me tell you what the verse doesn't say. The verse doesn't say this. He calleth those things which be as if they were not. Doesn't say that. Know what else the verse doesn't say? Doesn't say this. And calleth those things that are as if they were not. Doesn't say that either. But when people read this verse, a lot of people read it and they understand it that way. That's not what the verse says. And then when you are sick and you're calling things that are not, and your arm's like this, and you say, oh, this isn't broken, I'm healed. People look at you like you got a squid on your head. That's not what the verse says. This is what the verse says. Calleth those things which be not as though they are. Calleth those things which be not. Which is be not? This is be not. He's not saying he's ignoring this. He's not saying he's calling this thing not. What he's saying, the be not in this case is this. He's not looking at the problem, God. He's not confessing the problem. He doesn't call the problem. You know what he calls? The solution. He calls the result. That's what this verse is teaching you. So when you're sick and you're calling those things which be not as if they are, the things that be not in your life is your health. But you're not saying, I don't have health. You're calling those things which be not as if they are. You're saying, I have health. You're not ignoring the sickness. You're just calling for something different to come into your life. You don't see it right now, do you? You may not feel it right now, do you? What does it say? Faith is the substance for things hoped for. The evidence of things what?
Not seen.
You're not supposed to see it if you're doing it in faith. If you can see it, you don't need faith. You got the manifestation of it. But you're calling those things which be not as if they are. Because you see it in the eye of faith. Through the eye of faith. Because you walk by faith, not by what?
Sight.
See, that's what the verse says. You're calling for things which be not as if they are. Context was Abraham. The be not was he didn't have no kids. From the way God said he's going to have kids. Context was Abraham. The be not was that he's going to be heir of the world and that he's going to have sun, as many as the stars of the sky and sand of the sea, his seed will be. That was the be not. You understand? But God was calling those things that be not as if they are. Because he changed Abram's name to Abraham. And Abraham means what? Father of many nations. And when he called him Abraham, he was calling things that were not as if they are, giving him a name so that every time he had to confess that name, Abraham, 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 he was speaking God's word, saying, I'm the father of many nations. And did he have a kid?
No,
not the promised one. But he kept what? Confessing it. Confessing it. Confessing it. How did he keep confessing it? God said, if I leave this guy alone, he's going to be another 90 years. I better change his name. He can't help but confess my word every time he said, what's your name? What's your name? Abraham. Oh, that's father of many nations. How many kids you got? Well, nothing yet. Hey, Bill, come here. Meet Abraham. Now they got the whole world. Who's that? That's Abraham. That's Abraham. That's Abraham. Sarah, can you imagine that? Hey, Abraham. Hey, Abraham. How many times your wife say that to you? Yeah, a lot. Hey, Abraham. What was he hearing? God's promise. He's hearing, he's calling those things which be not as if they were. And you know what? One day, you know what happened? It went from here down into here. And then what happened? Had a baby. And then what did God do? We got to offer the kid. What kind of God does that? He's a good God. He's okay. Everything worked out good.
Yeah.
But that's what happened. Sheesh. That's closing Hebrews chapter 4. But you understand your words are important. The things that come out of your mouth are important. And the things that come out of your mouth come from your heart. And the things that go in your heart come into your ears and your eyes. You understand? So you got to watch what you hear and you got to watch what you see. Do you ever see something you never should have saw and say, oh, wow, that's going to be with me for a long time?
Exactly.
Or I shouldn't have saw that, or too much information.
Yep.
Why? Because that's the way our minds work.
Yeah.
You know? Hebrews 4, verse 14. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our what?
Profession.
The word profession is the same word as confession. And the Bible says let us hold fast our confession. If the Bible says let us hold fast our confession, then the inference is that you could lose it, or it can be taken from you, or you can confess something opposite. You understand? We're to hold fast our confession. That means you don't look at things and let it change what's going on in here, and then you speak at it, oh, this isn't working, or this is never going to work. What did you do? You just canceled your prayer. You just canceled your confession. You didn't hold fast to it. You got to start all over again. You're not going to see it. Who here knows who Wimpy is? Popeye, Wimpy. You know who Wimpy is?
Yes.
Wimpy's famous saying. What'd he say? I'll gladly pay you for what?
A hamburger.
Today. When? Next week he's going to pay, right?
Right.
Okay. You see? He wanted it first, and then he was going to pay. Don't be like Wimpy. It doesn't work like that. You don't get it first and then you believe. You understand? You get it spiritually first. And then it manifests itself physically in your body. You receive it by faith. Okay? Why don't you close, Miss Lynn, with a prayer?
Sure, God, Father, thank you for these wonderful words we've heard about confession and believing. And thank you for sinking our hearts. So we believe it and rise up in the name of Jesus Christ.
Believe it and rise up. Amen.